I'm excited to preach tonight, and I preached through 1 Peter some time ago, and 2 Peter, but just seems like the Lord would have me go back. It's not a message I preached in that series, but I want you to look, if you would, at 1 Peter chapter number 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, and I always give you a joke on Sunday nights, but it is a holiday weekend. Might be a little bit sleepy, some of you. I heard about this fellow that he appeared at the pearly gates there and was standing before St. Peter. I don't know if it all works like that, but it's just a joke, folks. So there at the pearly gates, and Peter said, well, we are letting you in, but I'd like to know a little bit more about you. Do you have anything of particular merit that you've done? And he said, well, yes, some. He said, well, can you give us an example? And he said, well, yeah, once I was out in South Dakota, and I was at this restaurant. There's a bunch of high testosterone biker type dudes out there, and they were threatening a young lady, and I told him to leave her alone. And boy, that one just bowed up. He said, you talking to me, punk? And he said, yeah, I'm talking to you. And I told him to leave her alone. They wouldn't listen, and I just reached up and I grabbed one by the beard with my left hand, and I slapped him with my right hand, and then I just reached out with my foot and kicked his motorcycle over, and it fell into another one. And Peter said, wow, that is impressive. He said, when did you do that? And he said, oh, about 2 minutes ago. So be careful. It's good to be a hero, but dead heroes are still dead. So In 1 Peter chapter number 4, we want to look at one of the commands that's given by God in suffering. Over in chapter 3, verse 18, we see Christ's example of suffering. For Christ hath also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. We see that theme, but then it goes on through after Christ's suffering, that talks about our suffering. And it gives us commands in how we're supposed to do this. If you look at chapter 4, verse 11 of 1 Peter. But the end of all things is at hand. Talking about this, of course, life, but back up just a little bit, put it in reverse in verse 1. For as much then as Christ hath suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, for he that hath suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. And so we see that he's there. He's no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh. But it talks about us now, that we will suffer some things. And God gives us the command as it comes down through the next 3 or 4 or 5 verses. And then to 7, it says, but the end of all things at hand, be therefore sober, watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good servants of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister or serve, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we saw the example of Christ's suffering at the end of chapter number 3. And then, of course, if the Bible says if we are supposed to arm ourselves, and if we've stopped suffering in the flesh, there's one thing you can know for sure: you're gone on to heaven. So in the world ye shall have tribulation, the Bible says. So it's not like, well, I may have some tough times. No, you will have tough times. It's not like, well, if things don't go good, I'm going to suffer a little bit. No, things won't always go good, and you will be suffering. You say, well, why are we even naming the name of Christ then? Well, here's the truth of that. We suffer whether with or without Christ. But when we suffer with Christ, then he's that friend that sticketh closer and that brother, and he never leaves us nor forsakes us. You want to think about families like our church and my family particularly. You want to think about families in our church that have gone through these great valleys in the recent months and even years. And we think, how could they go through that? And then we come up with the answer as quick as we ask the question, because the answer is they're going through that by the power of Christ. And then I've heard it so many times by people in this room. I don't know how people are going through what our family goes through without the help of the Lord. And to be honest with you, I don't either. There's a reason why there's so much chemical dependency. There's a reason there's so much abuse with substance. Much of that is just an attempt of people to ease the pain of life that they're going through. So it's not if you suffer, it's when and how. And so God gives us these commands, the end of all these things, be sober, watch unto prayer. And verse 8, above all things, have fervent charity. So we all suffer, and we all suffer together, and we're told, though, how to behave. So let me just give you a few short points, and trust there'll be a blessing to you today. Verse number 8, the Bible says, above all these things, have fervent charity. Most of you in this room know that charity is just another synonym for love. So first of all, if we're going to the command that God gives in the grace that he's going to give through our suffering is to, one, love each other. We're told again to have love toward each other. If you remember from back when we went through 1 Peter, it talked about loving each other. And so our overwhelming characteristic should be that we have love one for another. God did not say about the church that people would be able to look in and see our doctrinal integrity and know that we were the people of God because we kept such close tabs on the doctrine, although we should. He did not say that he would look in and you would see the orderly service in which you have your worship together and be able to say, wow, look at that. They must be followers of Christ. But God's word did say that we would be able to be identified by the love we have one for another. And sometimes our churches are labeled more as battlegrounds than they are fields of loving one another with brotherly love and brotherly kindness like the Bible tells us to. And sometimes we're a horrible billboard for the Lord. Our families, our church families, oftentimes across our world, will seem more like a divisive hate club instead of a family that's supposed to come together, because all of us, every time we gather together, we are gathering together to say that we're lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. And quite honestly, many of you have been in church services where it looked anything but Christian inside. And as the scripture says about some other infractions, brethren, these things ought not to be. And so what God says in this passage, he says that we are supposed to, above all of these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Do you know how to get along with your family or me to get along with my family? Love. And the way that I ought to get along with the people in this church, and you get along with the people in the church as well, is love. Because when we look at things with a very critical, hateful eye, and we look at things, we try to dissect them and pick them apart and find every fault to them, and we do not have the love that we're supposed to, then we won't have that fervent charity that God tells us to have. Because truly, charity or love does cover a multitude of sins. I challenge each of you to grab your family and hold them close and remind them that the love that God has given to you for each other, because God has put you in this wicked world, and too many times there's people from this wicked world trying to come in and tear you apart. And unfortunately, I have to go further than that. And sometimes it's within the church family that people will try to rip and tear and divide. And again, brethren, these things ought not to be. Have you ever noticed that when things go wrong, we have a tendency to snap at one another? When you're already on heightened alert about something, then you snap back at people in an unkind way. It should be that when you're compromised or when you're feeling bad about something, that you would be less irritable and less accusatory of people, but it usually ends up the other way. You get a heightened awareness of problems going on, and then you're unkind. Again, the scripture says in Galatians chapter 5, you bite and devour one another. And when you do that, you ought to take heed that you be not consumed one of another. It's supposed to be so overwhelmingly evident that you and I are in Christ that we have love for the brethren. That's why God says that we are supposed to have this fervent charity in verse 8. Verse number 9, it says not only to have this fervent charity, but then use hospitality. Hospitality literally means being fond of guests. Sometimes we know that people overstay their welcome. But I think you know some of the people who they overstay their welcome the minute they walk up. They're hard to be hospitable toward. But the Bible says not only should we love each other, but number two, be kind to each other, because it says we ought to use hospitality one to another without grudging. That's just another name for murmuring. Murmur, murmur, murmur. And so we're supposed to be kind one to another. You're saying, Pastor, I don't like that point. I understand. But that's what the scripture says, that we're supposed to be hospitable. You may not only do you not like this point, you say, Pastor, I don't even like some of the people that are coming to mind as you bring up that point. And you know who God's probably working on you to use hospitality toward? I mentioned it this morning already, so I won't go over all of that. But it's easy to love the people that love us. But it's a little more difficult when the people don't treat us in the way that we first want to be treated. Can I tell you that's one of the reasons why we should go to church? Because sometimes as a young person comes up in church and they didn't have any choice before, their mom and dad just brought them and they have to go, but they get to a certain age, okay, they're starting to make these decisions themselves. And they say, there's everything online. I could just watch it there. I can listen to a podcast. I can get the information somewhere. And true enough, they can. But God still commands us to come out and be together and have this assembling together. Forsake not the assembling, the Bible says. Well, somebody struggles with that. They say, why would I do that? One of the reasons is so that we can show hospitality one to another, because sometimes we don't feel lovely. And it's a discipline that God allows us to establish and to develop in our lives, that we're kind one to another, even when sometimes we don't feel like it. It also allows us to show hospitality as people come in, and they may not be like you are. They may not be everything, they may not do everything that you do. I read a true story of a college boy that went to visit this church. It was right across from the college that he attended. He had very noticeably wild hairdo and it was noticeably set apart from everybody else in this very sedate, traditional service, and he was certainly the odd one in the bunch. Bill was his name, and went into the church. It was happened to be full, and so he looked for seats in the back, and he found none, and he came down toward the front, and he still found none. He got all the way to the front, and he still found none. And so this person who was dressed in a way that nobody else was, his hair was certainly a style that nobody else was, and you could tell he didn't fit. As he got down to the front, there were still no seats there, so he sat in the aisle, just Indian style, just sat right there. The atmosphere tense, nobody saying anything because they didn't know what to do. There was an old man, been a member for years and years, three-piece suit, a little vest on, a suit, and he came down, and about all you could hear through a little bit of the other scuffling was his cane. And people thought, oh, here it goes. This old established person in this old established traditional church, this old established person was going down there to where this person was. Nobody blamed him for what he was going to do, because they thought the same thing. You can't just go sit in the floor of this church. You don't fit. You don't match. And so they wouldn't do it, but they weren't surprised that this old man was going to do it. And so he went down there to where that young man was at. He was just very, very hungry because he wanted to come to church. And that old man did something that nobody expected. Instead of telling him that he wasn't welcome, instead of telling him that he couldn't sit there, instead of telling him that he didn't fit, the old man took him a while, but he sat down on the floor beside of him and told him that he was glad to have him at church and sat there for the rest of the service. Hospitality, the Bible says, is what we're commanded. It's not an option. It's not something that God says some of you all ought to have hospitality, but it says instead that we are supposed to use hospitality one to another without grudging, or that's another word for murmuring. I can tell you this, I oftentimes do the right thing, but I don't do it with the right heart. You know what that's synonymous with? Murmuring. You do the same thing. Don't look at me like, oh, Pastor, I'm so shocked. We all know what we should do, and sometimes we do because it's not acceptable to do the other, but in our hearts we're, goodness. And then we're glad to tell 13 people about what we did, but what we really wanted to do was the other. That's really close to that murmuring. I I realize, and I think you do as well, that our society is more laid back than maybe it's been for a long, long time. And there's a lot of people who don't feel that they would be welcome in a church. Now, we can't help what people think about what they'll find when they come, but we can help what they do truly find when they get here. I can't help all the stereotypes out there of what people think about a church. But woe unto us if when they come, they ever find a group that is anything less than hospitable. Whether they dress like you or I thought they should have when they came to church is not the time to hear them hear for them to hear, well, they should know better. To be honest with you, they shouldn't. But number two, even if they do, I'm thankful that they're here. So the scripture tells us that we ought to have love one for another. In verse number 8, it tells us we're supposed to be kind and have hospitality one to another in verse number 9. And then it says, thirdly, I'd give you this in verse number 10. As we see, as every man hath received the gift. The gift of what? The gift that God has given to us. Sometimes that gift is things we don't like. The suffering that God allows to come our way, God calls a gift from different places in Scripture. But God gives us gifts that we're supposed to use, and we're supposed to use them for something. If you continue reading in verse number 10, it tells you what? Even so, minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So not only do we love each other, not only do we have kindness one to another, but we're also supposed to use our strengths for God. Everybody has gifts. Everybody has different things that we've got as abilities. And all of us also have some things that we didn't like, but God saw fit to allow them to come our way. In many ways, you could look at Job, the Old Testament great picture of suffering. And God allowed those things to come his way, and he was supposed to steward those things in a God-honoring way. You say, Pastor, you don't steward those things that are called suffering. Well, we certainly do, because everything that God allows to come our way, he will give us the wherewithal to navigate through and steward them in the proper way. That means when sickness comes into our family or your body, that God allows us the grace to manage and navigate a path forward with God's help of how to go through what God has allowed to come our way. We're supposed to use our strength, verse number 10, for God as he's given it. You have abilities given by God. Scripture tells us these things, and we are supposed to minister in the name of the Lord. Some people can sing to the pleasures of large crowds. Some people can entertain, and some people can lift spirits, and some people can serve behind the scenes better than everybody, any other people. And some people can, they've just got a blessed spiritual gift of giving that God has gifted them to make things and give to others. And whatever God has allowed us to do, we ought to do that. But here's what I find. Sometimes we do have something that we're good at, but if it doesn't get enough appreciation, then we start wondering whether we're doing it in the right way or not. But I can tell you when we're joyful, it's when we serve the Lord and the talents and the gifts and the callings and the abilities that he's given us, and we quit worrying about who notices what we're doing and what we're not doing. There are so many things at this church that go on that I'm always astounded at, and I'll find out sometimes months after it happened that somebody was visiting somebody and I had no idea. And it wasn't dispatched from the church office. It wasn't a visit that was asked or ordered to be done by somebody. Someone just wanted to help out and then bless somebody so much. I was visiting the other day with a shut-in, and they named this name of the lady, which I know, and it was here this morning, not tonight, I don't think, but naming the name of the lady, she said, I don't even know her. But she said, I'm getting these cards from this lady, from the lady from Lana's class. And she said, she is such a blessing to me, and I haven't even yet met her. She wasn't doing it, as far as I know, because somebody asked her to or ordered her to. She just knew that this lady was having a tough time, and she wanted to be a blessing, use our strengths for God. A fellow named Joe Carter, the pastor of the New Hope Baptist Church in Newark, New Jersey, he stood and presided over a service for someone very famous, February 18th, 2012. And he told how that he would never forget this lady singing. He would not come down from the cross. And this lady that had sung about the gospel and goodness of God. They were laying to rest a celebrity that day. They were laying to rest Whitney Houston, who had gone on to lots of fame but had veered very far from her beginnings. We can use our abilities for God's glory, or we can use them for our own self. And I'd hate to see us use the gifts, talents, callings, and abilities that God has given us and use them for anything less than God's glory. Number four, the last one I give you in verse number 11. Not only should we use our strength for God, but verse number 11, do all things through God's power. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. Let him speak with that confidence. If any man minister or they serve, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amy and I were talking as we were riding up the road on one of the trips back and forth to see Dad, or maybe back from his service. And we were talking about how everything that we do is supposed to be for the glory of God. All of us would agree to that. But we also know that life gets so hectic and so demanding that we forget that each little individual item that's going on in our life truly is there to be a glory to God. That means the sickness that invades my family or yours, the death that comes our way to some family member, or the problem, all of it can be used as we give it to God and say, Lord, we want your name to be glorified. I've been to some many wonderful, wonderful funeral services that were almost a church service, and glory was given to the Lord even through one of the saddest times of some family. And that family that I'm thinking of specifically over at Rose Lawn Cemetery, truly they had given their loved one and his passing to the Lord and said, Lord, we want your name to be glorified. And it sure was. So we ought to all do all things as the ability which God giveth, and we ought to do it for the glory of God and everything in his power. Sometimes we feel unable to carry on the difficulties that God has given us in life, but I can tell you this, that we can and we will go through as long as we lean on the power of the Lord. I told you before, but I heard about this hillbilly who bought a chainsaw, and he brought it back to the dealership about 3 days later, and he said, I'm going back to my axe. That thing doesn't even work. I'd be better off with my old axe that I used to use. And the guy that was salesman, he said, well, let me check it, and let me see what's wrong with it. And so he looked. It had gas, had oil, and all that stuff, and he pulled the string, and he started. And it just rumbled around, and that hillbilly jumped back and said, oh, man, how did it do that? He had been trying to use it without the power. And sometimes we say, life is too rough. I can't make it through. And truly, we can't without the power of God that he offers and extends to us. The difference between that family that you're thinking about right now that's real near ready to crash and the other one that's going through the same difficulty, but they seem to be holding it all together, I would say that it may very well be that one is relying upon the power of God to help them through what's happening, and the other is just trying to muster up the strength to go through. So where are we this morning? Are we enduring suffering? Are we handling it in the right way? Are we giving glory to the Lord? Are we doing it all to the as of the ability that God giveth? God gives us the formula to follow when we suffer. Number one, love each other. Be kind. Use your strength and gifts for God. And do all in God's power. Tonight, I would ask you what it is in your life that you're not giving to God. What is it in your life that you're not allowing God to get glory from? Because whatever it is, I would challenge you to secondly have a holy meeting with God and say, God, I'm giving it to you. If it's that great disappointment, if it's that great suffering that you or somebody else caused, but you haven't yet gotten to that point where you say, Lord, I'm just giving it to you. There's folks that I know, and you know as well, we all do, we know them, that they're having a great physical struggle, and they're so wrestling with, why is this here? The only time they're going to have victory is when they say, Lord, I don't know why it's here, but whatever it's here for, and forever, however long it's here, I want it to bring glory to you. Until that time comes, we will wrestle and we will not be using our suffering the way that God wants us to. Father, I pray that you'd bless us. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be stewards of your grace. Lord, I pray that we would have fervent charity above all things. I pray that we'd see this charity cover a multitude of sins. I pray that we'd use hospitality one to another without grudging. Lord, I pray that we would do all as the ability which you give us. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord. Help us as we walk through the valleys that you allow us to go through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Lord, that's the secret. Thou art with me. Help us, I pray, in our suffering times to always remember thou art with us. And help us to remember, dear Lord, that you'll strengthen us, you'll guide us, you'll help us in Jesus' name. As they begin to play, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you, my friend, to give something right now to the Lord. What is it, I ask one more time, what is it that's going on in your life that you've not yielded to the Lord? You've not given it over to him. Is that a sickness? Is that a relationship? Is that some scuffs and some fusses that are going on? Is that some tension between you and a family member? Is that some marriage problems? You haven't given it to the Lord? Whatever it is, I challenge you to present it to him. Say, Lord, however you're going to do it, get glory for yourself out of it, I pray. If you're able to, and they continue to play, if you're able to, would you stand together with me? And perhaps you're here tonight and you just need some prayer help. Brother Daniel's down here at the front. Brother Kyle's not far. Many other people would be glad to pray with you. You need somebody to pray with you. Isn't that where you're at? Would you step out and come and let one of these folks pray with you? If you're a lady, would have a lady just pray. Ask God for his strength, for his help. Would you come? Something in your life you haven't given to the Lord. You haven't yielded yourself to him. You haven't given it over to him to say, Lord, bring glory to yourself through this problem. Present it to him. This altar is open for you. Brother Daniel would love to take some time and pray and help. As these pray, one last request and invitation is this. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, I didn't preach on that, but you've been fully aware that you're not sure where you're heading when this life is over. My friend, if you're not sure of heaven, you need to be sure today. You don't need to spend another night where you worry and toss and think and fear about where you're headed when this life is over. Why don't you come and get it settled? If you're not sure that you're saved, very, very simple. Our church can't save anybody, but we can tell everybody about someone who will save anybody, Jesus Christ. If you're not sure you're on your way to heaven, would you come? As they play one more verse, this one's for you. You come, please. Thank you so much. You may look this way. And I know everybody's astute enough to hear that it started raining, so we probably won't be in a huge rush to get out. But we're going to be dismissed. And after we're dismissed, I hope that you'll get by and meet the Kings the wonderful family going to Cambodia. And so I'll ask them to slip out to the lobby. They may have to get a couple from the nursery, but I hope that you'll get by them and get a prayer card and let them know that you'll be praying for them, asking the Lord to give them safety and protection as they go. And then you're welcome to stay as long as you want. Now, after a while, we're going to turn the lights off, so you'll stay in the dark, but you're certainly welcome to stay as long as you want. We'll kind of wait this rain out, but it's been a wonderful, wonderful place to be, and we're thankful for what God has given, and so we're thankful that He's given us a day to be together as a church family, so we praise Him for that. Well, God bless. Hope that you'll fellowship for a little while, especially since it's raining so hard, and you're dismissed.